Direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a lovely week in between our last, since our last episode of Mad Game, presented by The Superiority Complex. Is that how we're... Why did you just start laughing?
I don't know.
It is late and we...
Again.
Again. It's 3 days after Mad Men aired and Game of Thrones, and we are just sitting down now. And we helped... We had a... my wife's parents moved into their new place, and we helped them, and we've been at it pretty heavy all day. And then we decided to sit down and do a podcast. So we wanted to get it out of the way and not get it out of the way. It's not a burden, but it is a responsibility to our listeners. And we know that we're starting to get actually some feedback, and people have a couple of people have texted me or sent messages, you know, confirming or giving us information that we were wondering about. So we appreciate all of that feedback, and we do hope that you keep the feedback coming. If you like our shows, please like us on Facebook. That's always a big help to us. We're on iTunes. If you look up Superiority Complex, which is the mother show, that you can go to Superiority Complex and look it up on iTunes and just give us a review or a like. Some stars and help us out. That really always helps us. And you can always shoot us a line at superioritycomplexshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/soupcomplex. And then that's SOUP complex. And then we are on Twitter as well at soup complex. So please, please, please find us there. And you know, you can interact with us anywhere, but give us a like and do all that good stuff. So here we are. Let's jump right in.
All right.
We have a lot to cover this week. First of all, I was right. I'm not going to let that go. Grammy. It was all Graham.
Yeah.
Nana had a little something to do with it.
I still don't trust it. They laid it out on a silver platter for us, and I still don't trust it.
I think Nana. What I think, though.
Really?
Spoiler alert. By the way, as always, spoiler alert, we're assuming you've seen the show. At least one person has told us that he uses our little reviews at work to be able to talk. He doesn't really watch the show, but he uses our review at work to kind of cheat and get in on some of that water cooler action. So
that's fantastic.
I know. I think it's fun. I think it's cool that
that's awesome.
That people like us, even though they don't necessarily follow what's going on. They still like us enough to listen, so that's good. But Grandma, I always forget her name.
I wrote it down this week. Olena.
Diana Rigg, and the actress played by Diana Rigg. She is the Dowager Countess version the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey. She's basically the Game of Thrones version of that character. Was that a sentence?
Is the Downton Abbey one? I've only seen parts of season one. She is like spunky.
She's very acerbic and very, very just like that. Very, very acerbic. Very, very. What's the word I'm looking for? She'll shut you down with just like, you know. Very. They're cut from the same cloth. Those two.
Oh, okay.
They would hate each other, but they are exactly the two sides of the same coin. I would say that. Probably the queen, not the queen, but the grandmother has a slight edge, but you see the Dowager Countess more, so you really get to see. And if you don't watch Downton Abbey, it is an acquired taste. I just really liked it. I liked the characters and stuff, but I only watched 2 seasons of it. I know they're up to season 4, so I've got to get caught
up.
It's
funny, you like soap operas that aren't like... daytimey soap operas.
I like British style, and I'm not trying to be snotty and say I only like.
You also liked your Friday Night Lights, which was really soap opera-y.
Soap, you know what? And shout out to Friday Night Lights, and thanks to the people who really badgered me, Chris Graham of Noble Fur and Jake Kerr, were really both adamant about me watching that and just kept shoving. And I kept trying to watch the pilot, And finally, for some reason, you know, the pilot was really hard to get through. And then once I got into it, I ended up loving it. And again, I think it's like Arrow in that that's another show I love. The stuff that's the teen drama, I don't care about it. But it was, for me, Friday Night Lights was all about the relationship between Coach Taylor and his wife, played by Connie Britton, and Kyle Chandler played the coach. And I thought their relationship was great. It was a really nice, honest portrayal, and I thought I really liked it. And I'm a big Kyle Chandler fan now because of it. The 5 minutes on the boat in Wolf of Wall Street just made me laugh my head off when he confronted Leonardo DiCaprio. But that is a conversation for another time. We are here to talk about Mad Men and Game of Thrones, and right now we're talking about Game of Thrones. And I kind of do like that soap opera-ish. If it's done the right way.
Yeah.
All shows, I mean, by their very nature, all shows have to be. I mean, Mad Men is a soap opera, basically, just in very hip 60s clothes and very sharp suits. And, you know, they're drinking martinis instead of, you know, whatever they're doing on General Hospital. GH. What did you think of the revolution? So you don't trust the fact
I'm just not trusting it. And that's why, because, so I sent you a text message.
Yeah. And you
and I said, stay off all social media. Yeah. Talk to no one.
Nobody really thought much of it. It wasn't discussed in a lot of circles. For me, I guess it's less the mystery. I guess there's no mystery because you could tell in the scenes with Cersei that someone's going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care who it is. She doesn't care if they actually did it. She wants an eye for an eye.
Yeah. The perfect person, because she doesn't like her brother in any way.
She's hoping it's Tyrion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get back to the idea that we know Littlefinger's involved.
Yes.
And so you're assuming, and Littlefinger has that little soliloquy where he talks about his new friends and how they're safe and predictable. And he can kind of, you know, he's going to try to take advantage of that situation. So if anything, I wouldn't trust Littlefinger.
No.
I feel like he would, and he's smart enough to keep himself alive and not get
killed. I mean, he's proven himself from day one to be an untrustworthy character. Like, there's nothing trustworthy about him.
And you were saying that you don't
think even with Catelyn, he was.
Yeah. And you mentioned last time that you didn't think that he was doing it out of love for Catelyn Stark. Or
at this point, no.
No, and obviously, look who's paying him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a mercenary job.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. And, I don't think he's doing it for anything other than the fact that it may be the money, and it may be the fact that Cersei tried to have him arrested and that whole, I don't know if she was going to kill him or try to have him executed. I don't remember exactly, but she threatened him.
Yeah. There's already,
bad blood there. Bad blood. Yeah. And so, you know, here she comes. And here he comes. It's the perfect chance to get the ultimate revenge.
The ultimate revenge. Because it is, like Tyrion says, whatever her fault, she loves her children.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one way you can really get to her. Her daughter's already been sent away. You know, now Joffrey. And it's...
Is it a leak?
Yeah.
I'm playing with hand sanitizer.
Can you... So, yeah, it's the ultimate.
The ultimate revenge.
Yeah.
The ultimate FU. We also saw in this episode, what's really funny is if you think about it, like you said, given all her faults, she loves her children. Her and Betty Draper make an interesting, study. And we'll get to Betty Draper later, but you just thought about that. But here's the thing. I think Betty thinks she loves her kids. That's the difference. I think Betty thinks she loves them. She doesn't really know how to love anybody other than Betty.
Betty's got issues. We'll talk about Betty
later. Yeah, we're going to talk about Betty later. But those are two very similar characters as far as that. Just wanting to be manipulate every part of her children's lives.
Yeah.
We also had in this episode, We saw a little bit of what's going on with Jon Snow, mm-hmm. and what now he's going to go raid the what's his name, the really hideous, the creepy old guy,
Caster.
He's going to raid his, and then we had low budget Willem Dafoe, the guy from I can never remember name his name, but he was the nerdy scientist in Pacific Rim last year. There's Charlie Day's like little nemesis in that movie, and or nemesis is plural. So we had him being discount Willem Dafoe, and being particularly evil and disgusting as the traitorous. Now he's in charge of the people at Caster. I always want to say Caster's Rock, but you know, that's not. I don't know why I want to call it that. Do you think now Jon Snow asked for volunteers? They obviously sent him on this thinking it's going to be a suicide mission.
Yeah,
they can get rid of Jon Snow. So, do you think they maybe sent somebody to? You think there's anything going on? Like somebody's going to try to
like a double agent sort of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, like they're going to whack him when he's out there in the middle of the.
It's entirely possible. There's that one new guy who mm-hmm. volunteered
with the Scarface.
Yeah.
Scar eyes. And then, God, you just want it to happen so he could see Bran. You're like, please, somebody from this family get to one another, like yeah. from the Starks. But I don't know. I don't know if it's, I don't have hold out a lot of hope that the Starks are going to see one another.
Yeah. they've met some horrible fates.
Yes.
And,
You know, something's going to happen so that Bran is out of the picture, or like he leaves just as Jon Snow arrives, or Jon Snow's murdered within inches
while Bran's watching.
Yeah, or you know, as soon as Jon Snow closes his eyes after being murdered in the back, Bran, yeah, Hodor carries him around the corner. I thought originally when I first saw that they were captured, I thought that it was going to be the cannibals that have been running around raiding the yeah. village that are running around. I thought that's who got them. And I was like, oh no. But then it turned out to be the guys from the mutineers, we'll call them.
Yeah. They're pretty effed up.
Who, the mutineers or the cannibals?
Well, both, but the mutineers were in this episode. So, yeah, that whole situation, like those poor girls.
And again, like, you know, I guess it does kind of, yeah, you know, and it's funny because we talked about it like last week, the whole thing with Jamie and Cersei is all over the internet. And then this week, that whole thing is going on. They're basically just wholesale, you know, rape is going on and nobody, like, it's not anywhere. But it's the whole Jamie and
yeah.
Cersei thing. Everybody's like, oh my, you know, and myself included. But I think it goes back to what you said, like, you know, it's just part of that reality.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not an easy, you know, it's always like, well, do you really need to be, you can kind of infer without having, I mean, movies have done it for years and years and years, but I guess HBO has to get their money.
That's HBO, I think.
They got to get their money's worth.
That's kind of what you expect from an HBO show that's going to have sex or violence or whatever. You expect it to be completely out there and.
Yeah, I guess.
Not holding back. That's why it's not on,
Yeah, I don't know. I just
another cable channel.
I just made that. I thought of that. I thought that to myself that, you know, last week it's basically headline news. And, you know, this week it's just like, oh, yeah, they're look what's happening back there. It's in the background while these two characters are having a conversation, you know.
Yeah.
But, we got to see, you know, we did have that reveal. And I love that the grandmother just said, we'll go back to her for a quick second, that her basic reasoning was, you think I was going to let him marry you?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I thought her motive would be. Like, she was never going to let her granddaughter, you know. Having her become queen wasn't worth, you know.
Yeah, the possible outcomes.
Yeah.
With such a cruel man.
What did you think of, you know, she basically told her, you got to get your hooks in him before mom does.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting advice for a grandmother to give. What do you think of that?
Well, because she still does want her to be queen.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that whole, you know, like they were talking last week, the alliance is still necessary. Mm-hmm. So they still need each other. You know, she's somebody from that family still needs to be queen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Cersei's a bit crazy. So yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And I don't think she took it too far.
No, at least not yet.
It was one of the more PG interactions, mm-hmm. which I, because I really thought it could have gone awry.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's all set up. You're all set up to like this kid better than his brother. So that just leads me to believe he's going to, some horrible fate is going to befall him.
It's going to be ugly.
He's going to get his face chewed off by a dragon or, you know, just something.
Yeah.
You know.
It's going to be horrific.
Yeah. And how is that kid not sweating bullets knowing that his brother was poisoned and he's now going to take over as the, you know, he's going to be the king. How is that kid not just, you know, terrified?
I think maybe he's probably a bit terrified, but I think he's also just young enough to think I'm a better person. I'm not as cruel as my brother. Yeah. People would like me better.
People are going to like me for who I am.
And I'm not, you know, maybe if I'm good enough to the people, I won't have the same fate as my brother.
Also, he has a cat named Sir Pounce. So, like, what is going
to
happen to you? You know, it's all sunshines and rainbows for this kid. What else did we cover this episode? We had Bran running around, and we found the wolf is still the Jon Snow's wolf is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that. What's his name? Forgot the wolf's name. It's the white one.
The white one is Ghost, right?
Yeah.
And then Bronze is Summer.
Yeah. What happened to Summer?
Well, Summer's in, like, fell in that pit, so I think. I think she will be he will be captured right along with Ghost.
I think they're gonna. I wanted Ghost to get out and tear some people up.
I think that's a very real possibility.
It's a nice day for a White Walker. So we had Daenerys, basically. We see how Daenerys kind of uses
justice for injustice.
Not only that, but we also see how Daenerys gets in there and wins the hearts and minds. She sends the Unsullied in there, as they say on Gay of Thrones, which your brother introduced me today. Introduced me to. They call the leader of the Unsullied baby Barack Obama. But you have to watch the whole thing. It's called Gay of Thrones. I think it's on Funny or Die. But it is hilarious. They call the Night Brienne. They call her Tilda Swinton. So you have to watch. It's called Gay of Thrones. Yeah, it's really really funny. It's just two gay guys talking about Game of Thrones. did you? I loved. It's kind of hard. Knowing what Jamie did last week to his sister, and then he turns around and he defies her.
Yeah.
And he does something. You want to like the guy because he just tells, you know, she's jealous of is it Brienne?
Brienne, yeah.
She's jealous of Brienne. She's jealous of Tilda. And obviously just wants her dead or out of the way because, you know, she can't have her brother/lover, you know, it's not that even he's attracted to her. I think it's just that he feels a sense of loyalty to her. And that's enough to make Cersei super jealous. So she wants to get rid of her. And Jaime turns her loose. And what else does he do? He says, you swore an oath to bring back the Stark girls.
Yeah.
So basically sends her on a mission. Do you think he's doing it so that she, you know, he's hoping that she'll bring him. She'll bring the girls back to him?
No. No, I believe that he will keep his word for some. I don't know why I believe that, but I do. I guess because, you know, he also goes to see his brother and doesn't, again, defy Cersei.
That's true.
She said, please go see him and kill him.
That's true.
And he did not. And when his brother asked him, like, should I be worried about turning my back? And he's like, why would you ask me that question? Like, you're my brother. So, you know, I almost feel like he's, you know, is the Kingslayer. But I almost feel like that was almost accidental or just opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
that's not truly his character, I don't feel like. He's a, you know, I don't know.
Would you say that Jaime is sadistic or materialistic and killing a king makes him opportunistic?
Wow.
I'm so proud of myself.
Oh, like you should be.
Well, we had another... This is a tough week because it was kind of, you feel like it's setting stuff up.
Yeah. Well, like we didn't really cover much about Daenerys, but, you know, justice for injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Did she cross a line?
By crucifying the,
That makes her, you know, makes her a murderer outside of the confines of battle where mm-hmm. it's like, it's my life or your life. So I'm going to kill you. It's mm-hmm. not really murder at that point, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, she just outright ordered these people to be murdered. You know, did she cross a line that she hadn't crossed before?
Yeah, and I feel like that fear, I think ruling through fear, or, you know, I understand that she's trying to send a message, but at the same time, it hurts her cause because, for that very reason, because eventually she may come up against, you know, another city or something where they're going to have heard about her coming.
Mm-hmm.
And innocent people could die just because, you know, well, we're going to put our slaves down, and we're going to make sure that they don't turn. So, you know, they're going to take these precautions and they're going to come down pretty hard on the slaves. And then that's going to make life worse for them.
Yeah.
But do you feel like she, I mean, what would you do in that? I mean, how would you have handled it in that situation?
I have no clue. I have no clue.
I think that Daenerys is willing to let things go to a certain extent, but when it was children, yeah. I think that really was like...
And then there's the other story, the other question of if you don't, I mean, obviously she didn't have to crucify them in the manner that she did, making examples, you know, a long torturous type of death. But what do you do with them if you don't kill them?
Yeah. I feel like in that instance, she was justified because it was, you know, they were innocents. They were the most innocent of the innocent, obviously, of the slaves. But I feel like because they were children, I feel like that gives her some credence as far as, did you hear what she did to these people who murdered the children? Like, you know, she repaid them in kind. And I feel like she kind of has a leg to stand on. But I feel like if she just starts going around the cities and just punishing everybody who happens to be, you know, it's like if we all of a sudden... And this country looked up from our iPods long enough to realize, you know, oh, look, these people at the top are really, you know, the manufacturers of so much of our misery. And somebody was to rise up, would, you know, how many people would they lose if they were just like, well, we're going to kill them all. No trial. We're just going to break into people's houses and, you know, we're going to do it Bane style. You know, we're just going to start having, you know, we're just going to kangaroo court and then we're just going to, you know, out these people. Eventually you lose support, you know, you lose that type of, people don't want that sort of revolution. So I feel like maybe in this case she was justified, but I think
it's a fine line.
It is. You're not wrong.
It's a fine line.
Do you feel like it's going to come back and bite her in the dragon tail, or do you feel like she's going to get away?
It could, mm-hmm. you know, because she's crossed that line into cruel. You know, she could have just had them all killed,
mm-hmm.
you know, a quick and painless death of some sort. But she chose cruelty as her.
So how do you compare that to what Arya did?
But Arya is not a queen.
Arya, no, but she could have been merciful. She didn't have to kill him the way she did. It could have been a quick just... and. Had the revenge and been done with it.
She could have.
But it was, there's something satisfying about
it. It was very satisfying.
It was very satisfying.
And Daenerys's was satisfying as well. Like I felt, you know, it was an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
But.
She's very Old Testament. If I can use that.
You know, as a queen, I just think you have to walk that line. Mm-hmm. You know, at what point does she cross the line and become Joffrey?
That's true. However, she doesn't seem, she's not being, I mean, her subjects are not.
No, they are.
Suffering.
But it's a slippery slope.
It is. It is. It is. But I feel like, again, you know, I feel like because of the way, I think she was so outraged that I think that that was
yeah.
her. There's something about, she may not be a mother. She's not the literal mother of dragons, but I think she has the maternal, she obviously has maternal instincts because she, I think she feels like these, like her, these are her children that she's yeah. freeing and that, you know, so, yes, I, you know, it's hard to get into her character because I feel like her story is playing out the slowest out of everybody's, you know, there's yeah. all this other stuff happening and she's forced to like sit on the sides and like amass this army. And so it takes time. And so there are weeks go by where we don't see her.
Or yeah,
we
it's
see,
like, oh, it's Daenerys again.
We
like,
see very little of her.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, there are some things in her character that we don't know about where we would know what, you know, John would do, or we would know what Cersei would do, or we would know. and I don't feel like, I feel like Daenerys is still like a wild card. She's still, yeah. you know, we don't, you don't know how she's going to react or what she's going to do.
She's still developing.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to address as far as this week's episode? Did you like the episode?
It was a good episode. We didn't talk about the White Walker.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna. Well, that's, I'm leading up to it.
Well, don't ask me if there's something.
Was there anything else you wanted to?
Yeah, there was just the whole Jaime, you know, and Brienne sort of thing. And, you know, he gave her the sword and he gave her Pod and he, you know.
Oh, it was nice. You know, I forgot. I'm glad you brought that up. It was nice for Pod to get, like, get him out.
Get him out. Because.
So he doesn't have to testify. And.
And he's with her, so he's going to be protected.
Yeah, cause obviously.
Because she's pretty kick ass.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, he gave her his brand new sword that mm-hmm. Daddy just had made.
From Ned Stark's old yeah. sword. Do you think, I feel like we're headed for a showdown. Like she's going to find Arya and then she's going to have to fight.
The Hound.
That would be pretty badass. Who do you think would win?
That'd be a good fight.
I know. I want to see that.
That would be a good fight.
I would say the Hound just because he's got the brute strength, but Brienne fights with honor.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a tough one. The closing shot, we find out what happens to all those babies that get led off into the... So, you know, you find out that Caster's been basically supplying
White Walkers
with more people, with more...
Yeah.
Because how many sons did he have? Who knows?
Yeah.
Could have been,
you're led to believe there were...
Dozens, at
lots,
least.
Lots. So, yeah.
That was a nice little closing shot. I kind of could see it coming, and it was a little, it reminded me a little of Thor, but, you know, it was cool.
It was a cool scene with the zombie horse and everything, like.
That White Walker.
It was.
Holding that baby.
See, I don't know. I guess I was expecting it to, like, eat the baby, kill the baby, you know.
Yeah, we didn't know they were turning him.
Yeah. And just so, like, ding.
Like quick, painless, you know.
Yeah. Welcome to Zombie Land.
I wonder what the zombies have against us. I wonder what the White Walkers have against what it is. What drives them? Are we going to find that out? I hope so. By the way, Mance Rayder, terrible name. Mance Rayder. R-A-Y-D-E-R. And what does he do?
He raids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when George Lucas names the fat X-Wing pilot Porkins.
you don't think that's like a...
I could be wrong.
Like a nickname, like a name given to him because he's a raider?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
That's a terrible name.
Like, I don't think Littlefinger's name is Littlefinger, is it?
No.
He has a name.
I guess I'm used to, okay, in our world, and not in the fantasy world of Westeros... You would call him, you would give him like a title like Alexander the Great or, you know what I mean? So,
well, you know, some of us are slow and we need to be forced.
That's true. Peter, you know what I mean? Or, you know, we the popes all have blankety blank the blank, you know? So, you know, Ivan the Terrible. So, Mance the Raider. Anyway.
Yeah, I just think, to me, I just assumed it was like a name given, like.
I thought that was going somewhere. Kingslayer went nowhere.
And stuff, like.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you went you're somewhere. Right. We had a whole conversation about it. I don't and know. How I think it's a valid.
Maybe, I don't know. I was just expecting more out of that whole thread. I don't know. You argued your point beautifully, and then I had nothing to offer, so I feel like I let everybody down, and then you just made me feel worse by actually bringing something to the table. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about... Oh, what do you want to give this episode? What do you give it? You want to give it a letter grade, stars? What do you want to do?
I don't know. I liked it. It was good.
Okay.
I mean, lots of...
Out of five. Five's tough. Out of 10.
I give it a 7.
It's a solid 7. Again, it's one of those episodes where you really have to... next week is going to start... You're going to start seeing some stuff that...
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of topics kind of peppered in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of their shows, there's one or two topics.
Yeah.
And you really get to dive into them a little bit more. Yeah. And the big reveal came so quick and easy. That's mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm not trusting it.
All right. All right. Well, we'll be right back with our Mad Men review after these messages. Hi, everybody. Welcome to part two of Mad Game, where we discuss Mad Men and Game of Thrones once a week, catching you up. This week's Mad Men episode was called Field Trip, and it is episode 3 of the 7th and final season, which I found out tonight is going to be split over 2 years. So they're going to do, I think there's 3 more episodes this season, and then 7 that will be released in 2015. We really want to stretch it out.
Yeah, which is just crazy. Just do an 8th season at that point.
What was the first one? What was the first show to split the finale like that? It was a big show, and I can't think of it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, because if you think about when we were kids,
mm-hmm.
like shows had seasons.
That's right, whole seasons.
And you would, but there would be breaks for like holidays.
Yeah,
and you'd throw in reruns.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just calling it, you know, a mid-season.
Yeah.
Finale.
Yeah. Well, you know, cable shows are always a little shorter seasons, and the series tend to run shorter. It's much more like British television in that way, with the exception of Doctor Who, which is just going to run forever. But, cable seasons are kind of like that. And I think that's really what kind of paved the way for, I think that's why so many people are watching BBC and getting into Downton Abbey and shows like that, or Sherlock,
mm-hmm.
because it's like we've kind of gotten used to now. There's a whole generation now that's grown up just watching series on cable, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Game of Thrones.
And the thing about with cable, it's like there's always something new. It's not like, oh, my show ended, so now mm-hmm. all summer it's going to be reruns. It's like, no, they're going to put out a whole new show, and that show's a summer show.
Stuff will run in the summer, which is awesome for people.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think that it also, at the same time, it really
prolongs.
It also changes the way that they've told stories, you know, so now you kind of have time to, you know, it's going to take you this season's only going to be 6 seasons, or, you know, Walking Dead or whatever is only going to be 6 or 8 or 12. And so there's less room for exposition, and you have to compact a lot of the stories. And, what's interesting about Mad Men is that Mad Men, I think one of the things that most people say is like, well, nothing really happens. I watched a couple of episodes and nothing really happens. And, you know, it's not a show with a lot of physical action, but there's always something going on, and everything builds off of.
And when you're in it for the long term, stuff happens.
And you know, there's a reason that, let's just take, for example, I was going to say the field trip, was the official title, but I had 2 alternate titles. One was See You Next Tuesday, Peggy. And number 2 was Mom, My Candy Tastes Like Guilt. So those are my
I literally wrote down guilt-flavored gumdrops. And then directly underneath that, in big letters, wrote down bitches. Because Betty was a bitch.
Yeah.
Peggy was a bitch.
Wow.
Jane was a bitch.
Joan
was Joan, a bitch.
Yeah, boy, bitches. the way Joan acts, especially after, it just like, are you kidding me?
Like, you get your own office now, and now you're...
Yeah.
Like, even this episode, I felt like her appearance changed slightly.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that whole how awkward it was to have, and spoiler alert, it was very awkward to have Draper backing us. But let's start, we'll go back, we'll rewind. It really felt like two different episodes. In the first, we had sort of a resolution to the question of Don's marriage.
Maybe there's no resolution.
No, but you know what, man, I was mad at her too.
Because it was, I'm not ready, you know, he said I can come back out and she said, no, not yet.
Yeah.
So she's not ready to walk away yet.
It reminded me of the line, you know, the whole thing with when he came out and he said, look, they fired me or they put me on leave. I didn't want you to know. I mean, she did call him out on that. And she said, you know, you woke up every day with a clear head deciding not to come back to me.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, and this is going to sound really bad, but as a man, I understood where he was coming from. Like, you don't want, you know, you don't want to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want to look weak in front of the person that you're supposed to be providing for or that you're supposed to be taking care of. And I think what's funny about Don is that he's so paternalistic to everybody except his kids. He's paternalistic to every one of these women he gets involved with where he's, you know, telling them what to do and they need to do this and they need to do that. And the only person he can't really do that with is his own kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can't be there for his own kids. Yet he'll do it with, he used to do it with Betty. And that's what Betty loved, you know. And he does it with, I can't think of his wife's name. Megan. He's definitely doing with her because he's a lot older than she is, obviously. And so, you know, he finds out that this is going on and, you know, he jumps on a plane and, yeah, it's a messed up reason. The reason he's going out there is to basically reprimand her, find out what's going on with her. But I feel like, but again, the appearance that nothing happens in this show, if you've been with it the whole time, you know what it takes for Don to tell the truth.
Yeah. And he's done it the last two episodes.
And we're just seeing that now. And so here he is. He puts it out on the line.
And last week, the result was far more positive.
Yes. And we talked, remember I talked about that and I said, you know, because he did it this time, it didn't work. No. He went to the well again and she was not going to have it. But so I was a little annoyed with her character, even though I understood where she was coming from. I felt like she was, you know, I wanted to say, look, do you not know what it took for this guy to,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because she knows his whole truth too.
Yeah.
So she has to know.
Yeah. And I feel like I was just annoyed with her because, you know, I felt like she could have given him, and you know, it takes a lot to tell somebody, it takes a lot to admit, you know, look, I got fired. I knew I was drunk and I'm trying not to drink anymore. That he basically threw it all out there. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to change who I am. And she's like, well, that's good. Cause you know,
yeah.
What's wrong? What's going on with your headphones?
It's fine. Just keep.
We're having a little itchy ear problem. So do you feel like she was right in tossing him out or what do you think? How did you find that whole scene?
Yeah. Conflicted. Cause I do understand both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a point where, as a married couple, if one of you is going off the rails, you kind of need that other person to rein you back in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was paternal, mm-hmm, or husbandly.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what a marriage is.
Like, yeah.
Like, if she's really losing it,
mm-hmm,
you know, she needs somebody to stand up and say, you know, let's
rein it in.
Yeah, just a little bit here.
Yeah.
So I understood it from both points.
Do you think that that makes the idea, do you think that that lessened, do you think that should have taken away from the fact that he did go out there? Like, she was like, oh, I've been waiting for you to surprise me all this time. Which he did.
Yeah.
He didn't do it for the reasons that she wanted him to, but he did it.
Yeah.
So do you think that that kind of, like...
Well, I think she's just overall upset because she made this move under the pretense that they were going together. Mm-hmm. And then he backs out last minute. Well, she's already got a job and stuff, and so now she can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's just generally angry at a really crappy situation, which is understandable. You know, you expect him to be a man of his word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Yeah, knowing what you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I see both sides of...
Yeah, I got really annoyed with her response. I don't know why. I was like, ugh.
I think I was more annoyed when he called her. I was more annoyed with her than that initial...
I think it's just, oh, when she just wanted to, you know, when then she was just being bratty at the end.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I've ever, I don't know how I understand, I'm not sure I've ever really liked Meg all that much.
I don't know. The whole thing was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, it's just she should have known better.
Yeah.
Now let's switch over to obviously the main. Aside from Dawn's going up, we see Betty again. Finally, we hadn't really seen her this season, and she's back, and she's going to try to be a good mom, and everything's going great. She's going to go on this field trip, and she's even talking to her old friend. What's her name? Forgot the friend's name, but this girl works in a real estate office, and you know the look that Betty's giving her. She's either jealous or she hates this girl.
She's jealous.
Yeah.
Because Betty doesn't have a life of her own.
And Betty could never do that, though. Betty could never go work in an office.
No.
Or go be a real estate agent or...
Travel agent.
That's right. So I just did a Betty. I'm completely self-absorbed. But she could never do that. And she's jealous of her friend. And so she decides, well, if I can't do that, I'm going to be super mom. Because that's what I'm at home doing. Here's the part that was crazy for me. So they go on this field trip. She's playing along the whole time. Being, you know, super Betty. She's judgmental about the teacher. Like, so we know the... Betty's there lurking under the surface of this mom.
Judging, watching.
Then, what is... So, you know, I was wondering why Bobby... They showed that little scene where the little kid comes by and wants to sit with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby says, hey, you can't sit there. My mom's sitting there. And, you know, it kind of just felt like a real... But then when you think about it, he wanted his mom to sit with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. He wanted that time with his mom.
Yeah. He wanted to be like, the look on his face when he was like, you're going to the.
Yeah. He was so shocked.
And the maid, just the look on her face was like, this poor kid is going to end for it because. And she knew just the look. She felt so bad.
Yeah.
She preemptively felt bad for him knowing that
it was going to end poorly.
She knew it was going to be horrible. And here's the thing.
And that it was going to be Betty.
How many, as a parent, if my daughter said, you know what, I gave a sandwich to a kid that didn't have one, how could you be mad at that?
Yeah.
You're going to be annoyed because you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? How long is the field trip going to take? You're going to be back at the school. They got to be back at the school by 3 o'clock. You can't skip a meal. Also, Betty, you're starving yourself because you don't like the way you look. So, of course, Bobby's going to think you don't eat. You set him up for that.
Yeah.
He sees you not eat, and she's back to being skinny, which they wrote around, you know, her being actually pregnant, I believe, in real life. But, you know, she was on that whole thing, and I needed to take water pills and do all this stuff, and, you know, my thyroid and blah, 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 blah. So she's not eating. And so Bobby picks up on that. If you have a kid, you know kids pick up on your habits, and they know you sometimes. And they'll surprise you because they'll come out of left field and go, well, you always do this, or you always say this, or, you know. And so, Bobby thinks, well, you're not going to, you know. And then, so what does she do? She keeps bringing it up and making him feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Awful mother. That's awful.
Yeah, it's horrible. I loved when she asked that question. Do you think I'm a good parent?
And we both simultaneously out loud.
Nope.
Do you think I'm a good mother? I mean, that's the tragedy of a terrible parent-child relationship is that the kids are always going to, you're always going to love your mom or your dad. If they keep pushing you away, eventually they're going to seek that love that they're missing out on in other ways,
yeah.
You know, and it's going to affect the relationship for the rest of their life. So Betty and Don Draper are going to have some screwed up kids, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with Don being unavailable and his mother just, you know what she reminds me of in a horrible way. She reminds me of Lenny from, of Mice and Men, where she doesn't, she thinks she's loving something, but she's really killing it because she's just smothering it.
Yeah.
You know, she's really just like, you know, like, I, you know, that's how she shows her love, you know, by being just, are you doing this? And let me be with you. And let me do this. And let me do that. And telling your kid, telling your kid you love them is very different than showing them you love them.
Yeah.
And so here's poor little Bobby, happy and fresh faced and just excited to have his mom with him. They're hanging out. And he even tells, you know, we were having a conversation. Like, he's so happy to be with his mom.
And the looks of the other kids when she tries the milk and...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your mom's the cool one.
Yeah.
Like, if so, like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Betty ruins it.
Betty.
Over a sandwich. Over a gosh darn sandwich.
Yeah. That whole thing, you know. And then she doesn't eat dinner and...
Just out
ridiculous.
Of
ridiculous.
But I, you know what's awful is I know people like that. I know people that would take it to that level.
Yeah.
Against their kid.
Yeah.
Why would you do that against your kid? Sally's lucky she's out.
Yeah. But that's why she's out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she's Sally's... been smothered and ignored and she's done with it.
Yeah, if Betty wasn't giving her love, it was you're too fat or you need to do this, you need to do that. And
it was a way I think Sally could take some control and hurt her mother a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it appears, oh, she doesn't love me and she ran away. And it's like, which, you know, she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she could tell her mom, well, I want to be independent or, you know, this, that, and the other. You guys are always telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I think it's that she just got smothered to death.
Ugh. Man, I hate Betty.
Yeah. Bitches. That's what this episode should have been called. Bitches.
So now after the whole horrible field trip incident and you start to kind of feel bad for Henry because he knows what's up.
And that poor little one just asleep on Jean. His mother. It's like, oh, poor.
Is it Jean or Eugene?
I think they just call him Jean, but I think he's named after the dad.
Eugene. Yeah, her dad.
Yeah. You just, it's like, oh, that poor child.
Mm. Good old Betty. God dang.
Just screwing up kids left and right.
Is there a person I'd love to hate more than Betty? Betty and Cersei, man, they need their own spinoff show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get back to Don. Don goes to, he's tired of taking offers from other firms. And inexplicably, some girl comes up and just tries to, you know, use her feminine wiles to get Don into some sort of situation. Whether or not those are the two guys that had anything to do with it, even though they said they don't, who knows?
Yeah.
But that scene struck me as a little odd. I wonder if there was something there that I missed or, you know, I'm watching this. I was so tired when we watched it. Is there some subtext there that I wasn't getting?
Well, I think it felt like it was... Because you're like, ah, ha, ha, Don's back. And it's like, no, it's not that woman's room he went to.
Yeah, he went to Rogers.
He went to Rogers because he wants his life back.
He wants his life back.
He had the opportunity. You know, she's up there waiting, top floor next to the elevator.
We don't know that he didn't.
We don't know that he didn't. But that's not what they showed us.
Yeah. They would show him going up to Roger.
You know, you see him at the door knocking and you're thinking, okay, you know, he just had this fight with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like maybe it's over. I've got free reign, but that's not what he does.
Yeah. I liked the fact that Roger, at first Roger was like, don't be such a crybaby, all this and all that. And you're like, wow, that's so dismissive.
Yeah.
And then But then you realize it was just the Roger that's always Roger. And he's like, come back. I want you to come back.
I miss you. Yeah.
And it made me miss those days when it was Don and Roger and that kind of stuff. And they didn't really, Don had the world on a string, and he doesn't anymore. And now he's coming back in a position of weakness, you know, and he's coming in and just being, he has to kind of come in meek and humble, and he's almost going to leave.
Yeah.
You know, when he found out Roger didn't show up, he was almost going to leave. And, I forgot the one guy's name, but, he calls him in, and the next thing you know, and then I love the way Lou is just all put out. We got to see how miserable Peggy is.
Oh yeah.
At her new position. And the second she gets a chance, as miserable as she is, she has to make Don miserable too. She has to bring him down.
Yeah. The same thing, you know, she did with her secretary last week. Mm-hmm. Just horrible.
And I think that's the difference between Don and Peggy, because they are kind of like, you are meant to see them as kind of like, she's the protege and he's, mm-hmm. you know, and so you're watching her rise, I think, while he's declining. but that was always the difference. I don't think Don was ever cruel just to be cruel. I think Don would get that way if he were frustrated and stuff and would say things. But you always got the sense that Don, there was something in him that felt bad and he would try to make amends or try to, it might have not been.
And he didn't said things when he was drunk that mm-hmm. he probably wouldn't have sober.
Yeah. But he always kind of felt, but he always had the idea that he wasn't just cold about it. He was going to try to make amends somehow. Even if it wasn't the right way to do it, he was going to try to make amends. And I felt like with Peggy, like we all know somebody like that, that will take any opportunity to rub it in somebody's face. And she did. And her little smirk, but you just knew it was empty.
Yeah.
You just knew that there was nothing there. Because
she just straight up says, well, can't say we missed you.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's just like, it was so awesome how everybody was weirded out by him. It was almost like he had come back from the dead. It's got to be so weird for people to ask you, what are you doing here? When it's like, yeah, my name's on the front of the building. What do you mean? What am I doing here?
Well, it's not in the building anymore.
Or it's not on the, it's on the front of the, it's still in the name.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Remember last season they renamed it to just the three, like found the three head guys from, so that's why they're SJP now or whatever it is.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, it's Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
No, it's Sterling Chaw, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That other guy's last name is. It's just the three of them.
I thought it was Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
It was, but Price is dead.
Oh, that's right.
Remember when they merged? They were trying to figure out the name. And they said, okay, the best thing is for all of us to take a hit on our pride and these guys.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think even Cooper might have.
Bert Cooper, he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think the C is for Cha, but I could be wrong.
What?
But it's just SJP or something like that now. So his name's technically, I mean, he's still a partner, but his name is not on the building anymore.
It can't be P because Price is dead.
What's that other guy's last name?
I don't know. Jim?
Jim. What's his last name?
I don't know.
It could start with a P.
Jim.
Don't do that.
Damn it, Jim. Anyway, getting back to that whole thing, your name's on the billing, but you're a goddamn partner.
Your partner.
So everybody's treating him weird. And who's the only one that doesn't treat him weird? Who's the only one that's really genuine with him?
The Jewish dude?
The Jewish kid, well, but of the, like the mainstays in the episode, like the, of the older cast, who's the only one that's really genuine with him? Ken Cosgrove.
Oh yeah.
You know, and Ken's like genuinely happy to see him, showing him pictures of his baby. And you're just like, wow, he's the only one out of everybody. Joan's reaction just made me mad. She was so just the way she's like, oh, nice to see you. And just in that snotty, you know, and then, you know, her, just the way she sits there and she's like, well, something has to be. And what I loved, the line that was so telling was that when Jim says, when they talk about Lou, I loved the way Roger went to bat for Don. And I loved that Roger was finally doing something and going to bat, and he really went for it. And I think Don understood that was the, you know, you could tell from the way they were seated. You could tell from the way that when they brought Don into the conference room finally, by the way they were seated, you could tell the way who's, you know, who decided what, and you knew that Roger was the only one. Literally, Roger is the only one on Don's side, you know, at that point. And I think Don recognized that right away. Don's a sharp enough guy and realized, okay, I'm going to take this. And I love the way he just said, okay. So just nonchalant about taking what they offered. But I think, like you said, I think that they really, he's going to stick to that. I mean, in the Mad Men world, you know, everything's doomed to fail. So you know that it's not going to end well, but you know, what will happen and how will Don, try to use that to his advantage? You know, how will he intentionally burn another client, while following the rules just to spite them and show them, this is what you said, you know, and I'm sticking with the contract and you can't take away my partnership. But,
because that's how I would play it.
That's exactly. Well, we have real life examples of you playing it like that. And, you know, it didn't end well, but damn it, you can hold your head up high.
I think he got what he wanted.
Yeah, I think.
All he wanted was back in that company. Mm-hmm. Because he had
nothing going
one on. Written offer, even if it was less. He had one written offer, which can develop itself into so much mm-hmm. more. You know, last week we saw him having lunch with the guy, and then this other company guy comes. So there's people who want Don Draper. Mm-hmm. He wants to work where he's been, where he's grown up, where he's helped develop.
Yeah.
He doesn't want another company. I don't think it's about the money or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about working there for that company.
Yeah. Don needs to be careful how he treats Don, because she's not a secretary anymore, dude. She's moved up.
Yes, she has.
But so many people are going to get caught up in this range war. I feel.
I'm excited to see how it plays out.
I feel like Don's got some. He's got some vendettas against some people there. And you know what? Maybe he doesn't. We've seen him change, so who knows how deep this change is going to go. But the way they played that whole last, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes where he's in the office, and you could feel how uncomfortable and awkward it was for him. And I just thought, and you kept seeing the clock in the background. You know, they kept in there till like 7 o'clock, and he'd been there since 9.
Yeah.
And I love that he's like, oh, you guys are just getting in? Like, what's going on around here? Like, this is how we do things now? Like, you know, and, you know, because as drunk and everything, Don, that he was there all the time.
He was there.
And that took, you know. And so I like Peggy. Thinks she doesn't need Don anymore. But I hope that, I hope Peggy goes down now, man. I used to root for Peggy, but.
She's
gotten too big for her britches. And, you know, again, we talk about Don like he's this good guy. He's a horrible human being, but somehow you end up rooting for him. You're looking something up over there.
It's Sterling Cooper and Partners now.
Oh, okay.
That's what they shortened it to after they merged with Cha, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was too many names. Because what's his name never got his, the one that's in L.A. now? He's a partner. He never got his name in.
Oh, Pete Campbell.
And Joan, her name's not in it. It just got to be too, so that's why they decided to go ahead and shorten it.
Whatever, Joan. I'm mad at you right now.
Yeah, that was the first time I was really angry with Joan. Like, what?
It's going to take more than what Joan has, if you know what I'm talking about, to make me like her again. Although it helps. It helps.
Yeah, that was a shockingly.
I was really
just bitch move.
Like, I was annoyed with so many people, but again, I'm more annoyed with myself for rooting for Don, given what I did not find out what movie he was watching in the beginning. You asked me, I did not know the movie. Did not look familiar to me, but it felt like something. There was a reason, and it felt like something they were hitting us over the head and saying, "Look what he's watching," and I didn't pick up on it.
So I
don't know. Well, that's going to wrap up. Did you like this episode, by the way? How do you feel? I think this season's been really strong.
It's been a good season.
It's been really nice to see Don kind of out of his element and trying to, you know, make a comeback. And I think he's back, but not in the form that we're used to. So we'll see what happens for the it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this, the first half of this season plays out.
Yeah.
What do you want to give this episode on your scale?
I'm going to give it a 7.
All right. I'm right there with you, about a 7. And next week we get to see a phone off the hook by itself.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird.
There always is. Yeah. And then we got to hear Peggy say what. So I'm like, sweet. Is there going to be a YouTube video of Peggy saying what?
By the way, find that out. Find seek that out if you haven't. Go to YouTube and type in Don Draper says what. Somebody has pieced together every instance in Mad Men of Don Draper saying what. And how many different ways John Hannah said it. But
fantastic.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mad Game. Thank you for joining us, guys. And we will be with you next week again. Sorry again.
Bye.
Sorry we're so late this week, but we had a lot going on. And we're definitely going to, we'll be in there with you again next week. So keep watching that Game of Thrones. Keep watching that Mad Men. Shake up some martinis and put poison in it. And we will see you next week. This transmission ends now.